Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Ask five different people what the Federal Reserve will do with interest rates in late July, and you're likely to get five different answers. A Journal Markets reporter will be by in just a couple of moments and explain how July's economic readouts have thrust a lot of confusion into Fed watching. First, some money and market news you should know. The federal minimum wage would more than double to $15 by 2025 under a bill passed by the House on Thursday. But even though the bill, which was sponsored by Democrat Bobby Scott of Virginia, was a compromise among several sectors of the party, it's unlikely to see a vote in the Senate, and the White House has signaled its opposition as well. The Congressional Budget Office determined that raising the federal wage floor to $15 had the potential to lift 1.3 million people out of poverty and increase pay for 17 million workers. But the study also showed such an increase could lead to 1.3 million people losing their jobs. And research from the consulting firm Captify says on the first day of Amazon Prime Day, on July 15th, there were 18 times more searches for the phrase canceling Amazon Prime than there were the previous day. And on one of the biggest online shopping days of the year, Captify says searches for eBay, Best Buy, Target, and Walmart rose 255%. And Adobe Analytics has run the numbers the past several years. Turns out the two-day Prime Day event is the third and fourth time outside the holiday shopping season where e-commerce sales exceeded $2 billion. The other two were Labor Day 2018 and this year's Memorial Day holiday. Let's talk about knowns and unknowns. What's known is that the Federal Reserve is debating whether to announce an interest rate reduction at its meeting at the end of July. What's unknown is how deep a rate cut will come from the Fed. And Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani is here. She says that July's economic data is raising all sorts of questions. So Akani, you know, many on Wall Street say that a rate cut larger than 25 basis points is unlikely because of how well the stock market's been doing in July.
Yeah, it's hard for people to imagine that stocks that have returned to record territory and economic data as well pointing to some resilience in the economy, that sets up a condition where the Fed has to cut rates and specifically cut rates by 0.5 percentage points as its first move. I mean, remember, this is going to be the first rate cut since the financial crisis. So while there are a lot of analysts and investors who believe, you know, maybe they're going to sort of do an insurance cut and basically take rates down by 0.25 percentage points just to sort of safeguard against a slowing of the economy, it's really hard for a lot of folks to imagine that they're going to do something more drastic than that.
What else has come out in the data this month that makes the measure of a rate decrease hard to predict?
We started the month with really strong figures for the job market, and that was reassuring because the month before we had seen a weaker than expected hiring, and that had sort of introduced some worries to some folks that maybe the weakness that we were seeing in sectors like manufacturing was starting to trickle elsewhere into the economy. But the labor market report that we received was very much sort of helped put those worries to bed. And then we got stronger than expected pickup in inflation and also in retail sales. So those three things sort of helped a lot of investors sort of feel that the economy didn't slow down as much as maybe some had feared in the second quarter.
You know, there are a lot of people on Wall Street who know the Fed like the back of their hand, and they know how to measure what the Fed might do based on trends, based on precedent and whatever, but everyone has a different opinion.
And I think that's what's so interesting about the Fed. I mean, it has sort of been one of the biggest themes driving the markets this year, the fact that we've seen this giant pivot among global central banks from an environment where they were either raising rates or holding rates steady to now widespread lowering of rates. And we already have started to see central banks in other countries cut rates sort of in anticipation of what the Fed is likely to do at the end of the month.
Also, the bond market here in the U.S. has given a pretty clear signal that a 50 basis point reduction might be unrealistic.
we did see bond yields start to pick up a little bit after falling below 2% in June. And that's quite interesting because generally the story of this year in the bond market has been falling bond yields, bond yields have been falling as investors have been pricing in the Fed lowering rates to respond to a slowing economy. So the fact that we're seeing a bit of a reversal of that trend in the last couple of weeks suggests that actually the data point to some resilience that investors might have been missing.
It seems that Wall Street has its heart set on a rate reduction of some capacity. And if the Fed decides to stand pat, it seems like that could seriously rattle investors.
We're not even seeing markets price in that possibility, interestingly enough. I mean, if you look at federal funds futures, the bets are pretty much either on a 25 basis point cut or a 50 basis point cut. And there's actually a 0% chance priced in right now that the Fed stands put. So that would definitely be a big shock to markets, and we could see some volatility there if that were the case.
All right. We'll see it play out the week of July 29th when the Fed meets and announces its decision. And that is Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akani Otani here in our studio. Akani, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.